So welcome everybody to the Smart Women Publish podcast, featuring self-published authors and other experts too who support them during and after the publishing process. So I'm your host Bev Ryan, author of the book Smart Women Publish. I provide book coaching and publishing services to smart women who want to self-publish non-fiction books to add value to the world and also to achieve something very special for themselves. So today I'm talking with Angie Hammond. Angie's on the Sunshine Coast in Queensland and author of the new book Unpacking, which we'll talk more about today. Angie's also the director at Garnish Marketing, which is kind of a nice little niche marketing business. So let's start with that just so we get some background. What's Garnish Marketing all about?
Well, thanks, Bev, for having me on your podcast, first up. Garnish Marketing started about 13 years ago, and we really used to market everybody and anybody. And then about 8 years ago, as the Brisbane floods hit, I was forced to go out to where the money was out in Roma and regional Australia. And that found a niche in the business in more manufacturing and industry types of businesses. So now we niche into that industry, which means that people in the manufacturing, distribution, engineering type companies, they come to us. And they ask us to help brand them, get their core message right, develop websites, write case studies, you know, all those kind of things that they really need. And we find that we're very big in dovetailing the digital with the traditional types of marketing because that still really works in that space. So yeah, that's what we specialize in. Yeah, what we find is that the people that we speak to in those industries are really, really good at doing what they're doing, but don't really know how to get their message out there. And so we're a really good fit for them. Yeah. And actually, we've got probably more customers now in Brisbane and the Sunshine Coast, but because we got the base of working out in those regional areas and with those larger manufacturing type companies, it just laid a really good foundation for us to you know, then say, look, yes, and we do this, and this is what we do really well. Yeah, so, but I genuinely love regional Australia. The people are just so real. It's fantastic.
Yes. Yeah, which, you know, we'll talk more about your book, and I can understand how you find that really refreshing. So we first met actually in the publishing space. So I'll just sort of talk a little bit about that background because you helped me market my magazine Honestly Woman back about 2006 2007. We worked together, so you were just starting out with Garnish Marketing then, weren't you?
You were one of my first clients actually. And you know, doing all the expo stuff and the and the magazine stuff, and it was so interesting, and it just opened a completely different doorway for me, and especially speaking to women, which I appear to have been allergic to for most of my prior life. So read about that in the book.
Yes, that was a good time. And publishing is a really interesting space and not always that easy to market. So we'll get to that. But first of all, just wanted to ask you about a book that has profoundly impacted you, because I really stress to my clients that, look, you don't know where your book's going to go and you don't know who your book's going to impact, and just trust that it will. So can you tell us briefly about a book that might have impacted you?
There's a couple actually that that I really enjoyed reading. Who Moved My Cheese? I can't remember who wrote it, but I know that it's a very popular book. That one was quite interesting. But The Alchemist, Paul Coelho. That one was a fantastic book. I think that was great. And there's also another one called The CEO, The Surfer and The Monk, I think. And I really, really enjoyed that. I think that the looking at people and the different sections of their psyche and their brains and how they're reacting to situations, the guy who does this travel and meets these three different types of people then realizes that he actually is reflecting some of those parts of that person. And I think that's true for all of us, and I think that everyone that we meet is a bit of a mirror of ourselves. And it kind of goes into a little bit of what I'm doing with Unpacking, that what I'm finding is everyone is in that Me Too brigade. Everyone is going, oh my God, I completely resonate with that. But that's because we do. As humans, we do find something to attach ourselves to with other people. And that's how we create friendships. And I find that very interesting. That's how our brains work.
Yeah, okay, interesting. So that was something that you remember from your reading. So let's talk now about your book, Unpacking, a very brave and raw book. And we spoke a little bit about it a couple of years ago now when you were early stages of writing. And I remember feeling like, is Angie really game enough to put this out? So you did a lot more work on it since then. So first of all, just tell the listeners, tell us what Unpacking is all about.
Okay, so Unpacking is essentially a story of my life from childhood right through to now, and I'm 43. And it tells the stories of all of the lessons that I've learned from the pivotal moments in my life where things change. So we all go through things in our lives, and those particular experiences can often change the course of our lives, and they can change the way that we behave, and that changes the actions that we take, and it actually makes our behavior the way that it is. So I've gone back through my life and worked out what those pivotal moments were and what lesson it was that I learned from that particular moment in time. And then what I've done in the book is I've left some space and asked a few questions so that you can unpack yourself at the same time, using my lesson as your and the story as your guide, I suppose. So it does tell the story of childhood and bullying, and it goes all the way through teenage years, then into traveling and being a traveler and being Angie the backpacker, going into marriage, business, kids, dogs, all of those things that happen. And it ends up with some stories that are a little bit rawer, where it talks about depression, it talks about marriage problems, it talks about infidelity on my part. And how the fallout of that has actually affected who I am as a person and how I've actually ended up growing as a result of some of those mistakes. Awesome. So, yeah, it is rather confronting, but the reviews that we're getting or that I'm getting are that, oh, my God, I thought it was just me. So everyone seems to be resonating with these stories, and so I'm not alone in my struggle. And it's nice to see that I'm not getting a slap in the face and a front door slam and being shouted at. It's actually working. It's doing its job. People are unpacking.
Nice. Excellent. So let's take it back to the writing process. Did you ever feel, were you worried about revealing all of this as you were writing, or did you just get to the point that, yep, I've got to do it?
It's interesting because this book has been written in two parts. Now, Bev, you helped me a couple of years ago when I'd written the book, and it was to the point where I was about age 40 and everything was all my ducks in a row, fantastic. Life was very happy and I had no issues. And then you edited the first book and I sent it off to someone who was helping me to get it out into the published world. And the lady said to me, Angie, it's a really good book. It's really well written. I love your stories. I love all the things that you're talking about. It's raw. It's confronting. She said, but it's very safe. I'm like, oh, okay, fair enough. So I kind of shelved it. I put it away and I was like, well, if no one's going to read it, then what's the point in putting it out there? And I was a little bit self-defeatist about it. And then my life turned up on its head. My dog died. And as anyone who's an animal lover knows, that's devastating. My world sort of fell apart for a little bit there. I ended up having lots and lots of problems with my husband, and the fallout was that I ended up having an affair with a married man, which was the stupidest thing I've ever done. And it basically rocked my world for a lot of time, probably a good, it was 3 years. It's still, we're putting the pieces back together. And it was going back to reread what I had written. it made me reflect on what I had written, and that actually I'd learned so much about myself in the process of going through this 3-year event that I had to rewrite some of it. And my husband said to me, who is still my husband, and thankfully he has, or is going through the process of forgiving me. He said to me, Angie, you want to do this unpacking thing? He said, you want to be Angie the unpacker? He said, that's great. He said, but you cannot unpack unless you tell the entire story. He said, so you're going to have to put it in there. And I said, you know, you're right. He said, but I'm fearful of what people will say. And he said, well, you know, you want to get rid of your fear of judgment. This is how you're going to do it. So it was rather confronting, but I actually did put the story in there. So that it was written in two parts and there was a big gap in the middle and I had to reread and rewrite sections of it. So the writing process was quite tumultuous, to be quite honest. And it was done over periods of years, opposed to just banging a book out in 30 days, you know, like you can.
So you kind of lived it and wrote it.
I did. I lived it and I wrote it. And so sometimes I'll talk about how the fact that I'm actually crying in the book. And I was, as I was writing, I was crying. And it's hard. It's sometimes hard to go back and read through those chapters. But the lessons that I learned from that time need to be told. Mm. Women and people out there going through this stuff, they need to know they're not alone. They need to know there's a way out. And actually, that there is a shining light at the other end of all of this shit that goes on in your life.
And, I mean, apart from it, one of the key things I think people will get out of that is that, you know, you and Kev have worked through it. You know,
And we really have. I mean, yes, it's hard. Mm-hmm. And it's harder, I think, possibly for him, because he needed to forgive me and I just kind of wanted to put it all away and put it in the box and go, ah. But actually the best way of dealing with it was getting it out there and admitting it, going, I was wrong, I was really stupid and I'm sorry, opposed to that didn't happen, no, that didn't happen, you know, I didn't do that, actually I did do that and I regret it for all of my years left as Angie in this shell on this earth. I will regret those times, but I can't change it. But what I can do is change my reaction. I can change my behavior and I can change my thought patterns, and I'm the only one that can do that. So if I choose to sit there and let the guilt consume me, then it will. I just refuse to let that happen.
Yeah,
I will not do it. So I unpacked it. I put it on the table. Everyone now knows, and judge me the way you want to, because quite frankly, the only person whose opinion I really care about is Kev's. Yeah. Everyone else, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. So in terms of just relating this to people who are listening who are writing or thinking about writing, I think just the key part of all of that is if you're writing a book, you have to kind of be truthful, don't you?
Absolutely. I think that if you start to create a character, then you're writing a fiction book. You know, if you're trying to write a non-fiction book where you're talking about your beliefs and who you are and what you genuinely believe in, then making it up doesn't help anyone, actually. I think that if you're going to then take your non-fiction book out to the stage and speak, how can you possibly speak from your heart? How can you possibly speak with passion if you don't actually talk about what's true to you?
If you're standing on stage or you're talking on a podcast or whatever, and you're living a lie. So what, in terms of that unpacking for an author or writer, what's your sort of key advice to them as they're writing?
I think if you're going to talk about yourself, have some form of outline of what it is that you want to say, and the outcome that you want to have for the person reading it. For me, it was to help people to understand that there's better ways of looking at things. And so, okay, well, this is the experience that I remember that was quite pivotal in my life, and this is the lesson that I learnt. What do I want other people to unravel as a result of that story? and then go back that way. But you won't be writing unpacking, you'll be writing your own story. But I think it's just it's a case of reflecting upon what you're going to write and why you're going to write it before you vomit onto the page.
I think we've reached a point in our society, I suppose, where, you know, the word authenticity, I mean, I love what authenticity means, but that word just, to me, is thrown around actually in a very inauthentic way now, which is kind of a bit of an irony. But, you know, it's just important. It just goes back to that core thing. You've got to be kind of who you are and be truthful about who you are.
Yeah, it kind of makes me laugh with that whole authentic, you know, I'm being so authentic with myself as they've got their Botox shoved into their lips and, you know, their eyebrows waxed, you know, made into squares. You know, it just makes me laugh because there's all these influencers out there in inverted brackets, influencing people to be, I'm not quite sure what, really, to be honest, but they're not authentic is what they're not. It just makes me laugh.
Yeah, true. So well, your book, Unpacking, seems to be sort of separate to your business, which is marketing. And I know, well, sort of two questions there. First of all, what do you hope your book will do for you in terms of your career or your profile? What's the ideal scenario? What would you really love to be doing with your book?
Well, I think that the first part of what you just said there is interesting because whilst the book is about me, I've spent a lot of years talking to marketing clients. And over the years, I've ended up doing mentoring for the government and mentoring in different panels. And so what I find is that when I go and I meet a new customer these days, we do something called a discovery session. And it takes a good, you know, 2 or 3 hours to go through this process. Now, the first full hour is where they divulge all of their information about who they are, what they, you know, what they want, why they get out of bed in the morning, their family, their problems. And I become counselor for a session. So whilst my company is about marketing their business, it's very, very important to understand the person running that business. So for me to be able to have unpacked myself allows me to be able to unpack others, which allows me to repack and package them. So then they run their business, the best version of themselves for both their partner, for their children, for their staff, and for their customers. You know, so it's an all and encompassing unpacking and repackaging process. And that's marketing. I mean, we are who we are, and that our business is us often. And if we can't be the best version of ourselves, if we're going out there grumpy every morning, well, that's bad customer service. That's really bad culture in your environment. And it's really bad for your relationship. But if you can't be happy, then how can your business thrive? So there is a little bit of a dovetail with the whole unpacking process. So the next book will be Unpacking Business, and it's underway. So I need to kind of stress that you unpack yourself to repackage yourself so that you can make your business unpacked and repackaged. So there is a little bit of a...
definitely. So do you find... your business clients who go through that process kind of say to you later, hey, that was great, you know, that was really awesome.
It's interesting. I'm working with a composite, advanced composite supplier. They distribute products that go into defense and motorsports, and there's three guys, you know, they're great, lovely guys. And I said to them, okay, I'm going to come and do a discovery session with you. And they're like, oh, okay. So we sat down and we started talking. And I was asking them all these questions and they were like, wow, gosh, we didn't think we'd talk about this stuff, but it was really, really relevant to their values and their mission statement and their capabilities and then the customer service that they deliver. And these guys didn't even realize that what they're doing was so important to their message, but they do it just because that's just who they are. They're just genuinely good at what they do. And they just needed to be shown that they're good at what they do. And it was actually quite healthy, I think, for them to, for someone to come along and go, well, that means that you do that. And, you know, that connects to your customer service, and this connects to your sales. And they're like, oh, yeah, wow. And like, and then we take that out into the field and go, okay, so what do your customers need? What are they asking of you? How do you deliver that? You know, and it just kind of went full circle. And they were like, wow, that was really interesting. I didn't think I'd get that out of that mm-hmm. process. And they did. And now, yeah, the marketing is happening. So,
fantastic. So I guess, yeah, I mean, that next book, Unpacking Your Business, yeah, I can just see that taking off because that's so important. And I guess in the self-employed world, it's so important. We know that about ourselves, but oftentimes we do struggle with that. I mean, who am I? Why am I doing this? What do I care about? But it's just pivotal and basic to everything we do, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
So in terms of your profile or career as an author, kind of as a bit of a separate entity, what do you hope to do with your book, or what are you doing with your book?
Well, I'm wanting to get some speaking engagements and some press and all that kind of thing, so that more people come along the unpacking bandwagon, I suppose, and they jump on, and it starts a little bit of a revolution of people kind of going, right, okay, well, how can I realize that my past mistakes and that the things that I've been through throughout different stages of my life don't need to reflect what I'm doing right now. They don't need to affect how I think I can do things. You know, as a child, you might not have been particularly good at sport. That does not mean that you can't do it now. As a teenager, you may have been bullied, so you might not want to talk to a certain type of person. Challenge that. You know, put yourself outside of your comfort zone. And for a long time, I was bullied at secondary school, and the girls would take my bag and they'd throw it around the schoolyard, and they'd take my homework and they'd scrape up into a ball and they'd push past me in the corridor, and I ended up repelling and kind of going, oh, and I ended up hiding in the woodwork room. I crafted my, you know, got really, really good at making keyrings at lunchtime, to be honest, but it didn't help my ability to connect with humans. And I should have confronted it. And I didn't, which means that these days, well, until a few years ago, until really children started to go to school, I didn't really connect very well with girls because I went to a girls' school. So I connected the dots, and girls picked on me, therefore I don't make friends with girls. I don't like girls. So I spent all of my time making friends with boys, and that was sometimes not the best decision because boys get the wrong idea in their head sometimes. And then I confronted it. And I started to be okay with making friends with women, and found out that these women were just like me. They were having the same problems as me. We all had the same type of pathway. We all thought that we were inadequate at some stage. We were all in one way, shape or form bullied on at school, because that's what children do to each other. But it should not make me unable to communicate with other women. So now I'm perfectly comfortable talking to a bunch of women. But you have to confront those things. You absolutely have to go head on and go, okay, I'm going to challenge that theory. So, yeah.
So I know you are running workshops as well as speaking.
Yeah, so we've got our first workshop, actually, because the books only came out in May. It's been a bit of a slow launch. But we've got the first one happening at the Alex Surf Club on the 31st of October. And it's essentially an opportunity for people to come along, male or female, and unpack. So we're going to go through some discussions about, you know, who you are, your values, what it is that's holding you back, what it is that you want to do with your life, why do you think that you can't do it, you know, as we're talking about fear and judgment, asking for help, accepting help, the fact that we do actually fit in even if we don't think that we fit in. And sometimes not fitting in is a blessing, because who wants to be the person that fits in with everyone? You know, you find your niche. You can't like everyone, and everyone can't like you, and that's perfectly normal. We'll talk about gratefulness and kind of how to work your way towards getting what you want. So a little bit manifestation and your purpose. We'll do a clay exercise, which is something that I learned through Reiki, which is really, it's a really lovely thing to do. Take a walk on the beach, drink wine, eat food, and it's just going to be lovely. So, so it's a great location at the surf club there, and they're lovely people. So awesome. Come along, have a look.
I'm very tempted because, excuse me, I was just thinking as you were saying that, that you know, I'm what, 2 decades ahead of you, past you, whatever. And I think there's certain times, well, there's every couple of years you kind of reach a different, kind of a different plateau in your life, and you have to sit back and think, well, who am I now? And who do I want to be now? Because there's things I don't need to do anymore because, you know, the, my children are adults. And
that's right.
Now there's a grandchild. So it's, then there's, well, okay, I'm a grandmother. What is that going to look like? And I've reached an age where I'm just working solely on my publishing business now, which is really awesome. And what do I want that to look like? So unpacking, it should not, it should never stop. We should never just say, okay, I'm done. I'm 50 and I'm done.
We're evolving, aren't we?
You That's know, right.
I think I've had several different lives. It feels like my life has been segmented into sort of almost 7-year chapters, which is it's just the way it is.
Yeah, it's life.
It's unfolded for me. Yeah.
So just going back to marketing, because marketing is your space. How have you found the process of marketing a book as opposed to marketing an engineering company?
Well, marketing a book for all those aspiring authors out there, let me tell you, it's a very slow burn. And that's okay. It kind of has to be, because what's going to happen is you're going to launch your book and it's going to take people an inordinate amount of time to read the thing and then form some sort of opinion about what it was and then consider whether they need to write a review for you. Most people read a book, put it down and go, oh, well, that was great, and then don't actually say anything about it. For people who are readers out there listening to this podcast, please review books, especially for new authors who are self-published, because we have not got a publishing house behind us. And it's so, so helpful to have someone's opinion that will help form the decision-making behind someone else inking up that book to choose to put and read it and then share it. So yeah, it's actually quite difficult. I have a website. I use Instagram and Facebook to market my business. That again is a slow burn, and what you'll find is that suddenly people like you and they like your posts, and then they don't like you, and it's like, oh, but I had this many people yesterday and now I've only got this many people, and you kind of can't look at it too much because it drives you mad.
Then if you say, oh god, what did I say that upset them?
Yeah, I know.
Then you're going back to that not being, then if you start altering what you say because you want to be liked, really.
Yeah, well, I don't do that. If they don't like me, that really is their own problem. So if you like me, then you like me. And if you don't, then go find some other influencer with Botox to go like, that's cool. That's right. I mean, they're going to wear Lorna Jane really well, you know, great. So not interested in your opinion.
So I think the thing with book marketing is just taking steps, continual steps, and some will kind of fizzle. And other things will be, oh, okay, so that worked well. Let's keep going with that one. I always recommend a guy called Tim Grahl, who's, I think he's Canadian, and his whole business is based on book marketing, and he just does some really good stuff. So his surname is Grahl, Tim Grahl. And he's actually written a couple of books himself about selling books. So, and his key thing is that it's just kind of focus on the social media that you enjoy, choose a couple, just continual steps every week or every month, whatever, and find ways to bring people back to your database. And then That's your right. database is your relationship building
Well, that's the same in any kind of marketing. You know, without your database, you don't have a business. I mean, the other things that I'm doing, I had an interview with the Sunshine Coast Libraries the other day, and they're going to put me on the speaking circuit, hopefully. And you know, there's a few other different little things. The book's actually over in Frankfurt at the moment, ready for the Frankfurt Book Fair. So that's exciting. I'm hoping that it gets noticed over there. And, you know, there are thousands of books and there are thousands of authors who have got amazing stories and amazing novels. And, you know, so you're up against quite a lot of noise out there. But at some point, it will get picked up. And I've got full confidence in the fact that this thing will carve my next few, at least 10 years of my career.
And it's your first book, so it's great that you're already writing your second one, and it's kind of like this energy sort of starts to multiply, and then there'll be a third and whatever. So do you actually enjoy the writing process?
I love writing, Bev. Okay. And it's my freedom. It's where my energy goes to. It's my Sunday afternoon, you know, it's what I do for fun.
Yeah. Awesome. Then you can't go wrong. If you can sort of say that it's what I do for fun, then that's awesome. Many times people are writing books for the outcome of the book, particularly in the business space. Writing may not be their thing, but they really go, you know, the outcome is important, so they'll put themselves through the process of the writing. But if that part is what you love as well, that's pretty good.
So there are two things that I really like doing. I really like exercise and I really like writing, and I love being creative. So when I run, my brain relaxes, and the moment that you relax is the moment when all the really great ideas come. So you kind of have to do something that makes the ideas come. So the two go hand in hand for me. So I do a lot of exercise. I really get into the triathlon thing. But then I also love to write. And so sometimes the two go hand in hand as well. You know, I talk about sport and running and marathons and all that sort of thing.
So true, because as a business owner, putting the publishing and business ownership together, sometimes we don't switch off the brain from the business in order to help the creativity for the book, which is what you're saying. Your running does that for you.
Yeah. Well, I think unless you have some downtime, ideas, they don't attach themselves to you. You know, it's funny, it's a book that was written by Elizabeth Gilbert. It's called Big Magic, and I love it. I love Big Magic.
It's the best book for writers.
It really is. And I've actually quoted her Enchantment chapter and, you know, acknowledged her in the credits and all that stuff, and that's great. But what it talks about is the fact that ideas attach themselves to you. They're this disembodied thing that kind of floats around, and when that person is ripe, it will attach itself to the person that it needs to be attached to, and you can then run with that idea. And if you don't take that idea up, that idea buggers off and finds someone else who will make manifest this particular idea, because the idea wants to live. So if we just think of all of those things that we've got just sitting around, you know, kind of waiting to be made manifest, if you don't have the energy, if you don't have the time, if you don't pay it any mind, it's not going to happen. But the moment that you relax, that idea goes, it's not a prickly place anymore. It's nice and smooth, you know, and it goes up, it attaches itself to you. And then all those light bulb moments happen, and the tingles happen, and your gut feeling happens, and you know it's a real cracker, and away you go.
<That's> awesome. Yeah, and I guess what we can do then is, you know, because we always have big ideas, you know, ideas come to us. There'll be some ideas that we, like you said, we just, lights us up and away we go. Also, there'll be ideas that we kind of sit on the back burner and then somebody else will do it and we get really narky. But I guess the best thing we can do is say, it's an amazing idea and I can't do you justice. Go find somebody else who will make you happen. You can't own these ideas.
No, you can't own them.
Unless
they come,
to
visit you. It's almost like you're being channeled, you know, to do this thing. You're like, you know, you've been chosen as the vessel to make this thing happen.
Yes.
And that's what I really, really feel with unpacking. Actually, when I was writing it, it's often felt like it was not me writing. And sometimes when I talk to my clients, it feels like it's not me talking, you know. So I do sometimes feel, and it sounds really spiritual and a bit wishy-washy, but I do sometimes feel that I'm a bit of a channel. And I love that, because then I get all these moments of these tingles all over my body where I know that what I've just said and what I've delivered was right. It's like this confirmation comes in and goes, yeah, you got it. Done. Thanks. Job done.
So to anyone who's listening, and if you're a listener and you've got an idea that you've just, it just lights you up, but you haven't started writing with it, with that idea yet, you better get to it. You
know, yeah, it's going to
honor that idea.
It will go somewhere else. Hurry
That's
up.
Right. Cool. So it's been great to chat with you, and awesome to have that conversation. I may well come to your workshop. I feel like I need unpacking. I just love that whole concept. Because so many people are unsure who they really are, which is, and I'm one of those. And or I think, oh yeah, but I'm a bit of that and a bit of that, but I can't choose. But I think that
you don't have to.
Yeah, sometimes you don't have to choose. Sometimes you do. I mean, I've made a choice just in the last couple of weeks to stop doing my career coaching or career consulting in the city and just work with in my publishing business. And that choice kind of like set me free. But in the past, I was happy to have both. So I guess, you know, things change. We evolve.
We do. And it's good. It's good that you've accepted your evolution. Yes. Because then, you know, that's your idea. It attached itself to you, and you went, right, I'm going to run with that.
Yes.
Because you know that that's what makes you happiest. So good on you.
Definitely.
Thanks for having me, Bev. Appreciate
great
it.
Great to speak with you again. So if people want to find you, where will they find you online? So
you can go to unpacking.com.au or go to Angie the Unpacker on Facebook. And Angie the Unpacker on Instagram.
I love that, Angie the Unpacker.
Yes, I have even branded myself. What a marketer.
Cool. And I know you reasonably well, and I think you wouldn't let people hide too much. You know, if they come to you to be unpacked, you'll be able to say, hey, come on a minute.
I get a
spade. Open that door.
Dig a hole.
You can't hide. Get out
That's
of here.
That's right.
So great to have you. I'm Bev Ryan, and my website is smartwomenpublish.com. Thank you.